precious gifts, and we look them all. We look as dear as you do, not quite as much as you do, Lord, because the love that you provide is vast and wonderful. We try to love them as best as we can. We ask you to provide everything for these children, from all the teaching to their parents. Give them wisdom and understanding, and Lord, just give them the knowledge to walk with you, Lord, and to teach these children the way that they should go. And Lord, we just ask that they grow up to be just like Jesus, just like you, full of your love, your mercy, your grace. And thank you for the blessings you give us, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.
We'll now take up our offering.
Reaching souls and doing the work of the Lord. Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I notice it this morning.
No, it's just for
recording. The first time, we would like to welcome you in our own way. Could you just raise your hand if you are here for the first time, please? On Wednesday night again, pray that it would be fruitful. You know, two people came to the church last Thursday through the advert. Hallelujah. Amen. A big step, they were both men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight we have our prayer and praise evening. Please come and join us. It's a wonderful time. You know, we've said this before. Little prayer, little blessing. Some prayer, some blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. That's what we want to be in for God, isn't it? Yeah. And on the 25th,
are you okay, sweetheart?
Ahead, we have a trustees meeting after the service. Please remember that. We'll keep it as short as we can. I'd like to mention this, A Taste of Africa, and also Choices Fair at the Town Hall, Middlesbrough Town Hall, on Friday the 16th of October. It begins at 4 p.m. and goes right through to 10 p.m. So it looks fantastic. Please go. Dave Willows is our preacher next week. But David is 70 next Tuesday. And we would like to put on a surprise birthday party for him when he comes and preaches next week. So if you can help with the love feast, it will be good. We really want to bless this man of God, don't we? Amen. Children, you can go to your classes. Have a great time.
See you later, Brian.
See you later.
Pastor Brian has also been a great man of God for us here. He laid the foundation. He was the pioneer of this church, which must be 17 years ago, maybe 17, something like that, 17 years ago. And it's a firm foundation which he has laid and we have now. So would you give Pastor Brian a warm welcome? So pleased to see you.
Well, good morning, and if I haven't given you a hug yet or said hello yet, then we can do it later. But it's thank you for the warm welcome, and it's quite strange being back again. But you know, I just hope that I can bring the Word of God to you this morning that will not only bless you but encourage you and challenge you to. I just hope that the word that I would bring would make a difference when you walk out of here today. That's really what it's about, isn't it? It's not whether I'm a good preacher. It's not about, you know, what you think about me or anything. It's just the word of God. Penetrate our hearts. Does it do something inside of us that when we leave here, we would have a resolve, if you would like, to make a difference out there in the world today? And that's the title of my message this morning, actually, that as God's people, we are called to make a difference. And I hope as I go through this morning with this, that it will speak to your hearts. It's certainly spoken to mine. I have a real blessing now because I go all over the place preaching, and you know, it's good that God gives you a message for God's people, or a message for the church of God, that, you know, I can. So I'm quite used to bringing this message, so I'm not sort of saying to you this morning that this is a new message. It's not, but it's a very relevant message. And, you know, when I was pastoring, you had to have a different message every week, and that's totally different. But when God lays something upon your heart, I have the privilege now of going all over the place, and I've got more than one message, by the way, that's okay. but I really felt that this was a message for you, dear ones, this morning. So let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you that your word is faithful and true, just like you. And Lord, I pray that you would take this word, that you would use it to speak to our hearts, and that we might take it away with us, Lord, and that it might have an effect. And that we might be a people who do have an effect, who do make a difference. So Lord, everything that's said this morning that's from you, I pray that you would stamp it upon our hearts, Lord. And that which isn't from you, Lord, you would wipe it out. But Lord, in all that I say and do, I pray that you would be glorified. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Just got to say, isn't Jesus great?
Yes.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
Isn't it marvellous to know that we've got a Saviour who loves us and cares for us? A Saviour who really has a good plan for your life and my life? Sometimes, you know, we need to remember that, because, you know, in the life that we live, in this world that we live, you know, you could look at what's going on around you and you could think, my goodness, aren't we in a mess? But let me tell you, friends, we're not in a mess, because God's in charge and he'll have the last word. So I don't let these things. I was listening to a message this morning with John Hagee, and he was talking about the joy of the Lord, and my goodness, wasn't he right? That we have no right whatsoever to be miserable Christians. If you're miserable this morning, well, you need to do something about it. Because how can you receive the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and be miserable? Hallelujah. It's got nothing to do with my message, by the way. If you've got your Bibles, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 to 16 in the beginning. Just give you a moment to get there. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. These are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they take a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. My dear friends, we need to recognize that the way that we live our lives has either a positive or a negative effect, and that we should live responsibly to bring glory to God. You know, salt and light indicate how we can be an influence for good as we penetrate secular society. And my, isn't it secular today? Yeah? My goodness. I was just thinking, I've got all these reports on emails about the things that are happening in our country, and I just thought that poor George Rutter must be worn out, keep sending all these letters off to people, because there's so much for him to write about now, isn't there? My goodness, when you see what the injustice and the persecution that's happening in this world today. But you know, we are called to be a people who make a difference in this world. We know the difference and we should make a difference. You know, salt has no flavour, it has no value. And if we, as God's people, make no effort to affect this world all around us, then we are of little value to God. And let me clarify that, because you might misunderstand what I'm saying here. God loves you, he thinks you're wonderful, you're the apple of his eye, and he thinks you're fantastic. But when I say of little value to God, in terms of influencing around us, because my friends, every one of us is called to be a witness. And you can't cop out and say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a preacher, whatever, because you were saved for a purpose. And each one of us is called to proclaim the word of God. Let me tell you that we should not blend in with everyone else. We should have a positive effect upon them. Just as salt would bring out the best flavour in food, that is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to bring out the best in those people who we come into contact with. We are the light of the world. That's the words we've just read in God's word. That's not my words, that's what Jesus said. He said that we are the light of the world and that we're supposed to shine, showing others what Jesus is like. You know, we sing Shine Jesus Shine, don't we? I can't stand the song personally, but if it's your favourite song, I'm sorry, but I never have liked it. But what I'm really saying to you this morning is that it's not Jesus that needs to shine, it's you and me. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. We are supposed to be the ones that shine. They're supposed to see Jesus through us. So don't hide your light by being quiet when you should speak. If I said to you this morning, put your hand up, and don't do it, by goodness me. If I said, put your hand up if you've been quiet when you should have spoken, every hand in this place would go up. Every single one, or you'd be a liar. Because we've all done it. But I'm challenging you this morning, and I'm challenging myself this morning, that don't hide your light by being quiet when you can say something. Don't hide your light by going along with the crowd. We could all put our hands up to that too. Don't hide your light by letting sin in our lives dim the light. Because rest assured, my friends, sin will dim your light. And don't hide your light by ignoring the needs of others. In verse 16 it says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, my friends, if you did nothing more than smile at somebody, If you did nothing more than go and be a good representative of Jesus because you're full of joy, wouldn't that make a difference? Iris and I have just been away in Portugal for a week and walk down the street and I say hello to people. She says, "You're terrible, you." You know, strangers and that. That's people we've never met, but couldn't even speak the same language. I'll say hello to them and smile. Do you know some people walk along like this with their head down? Have you noticed? Why not say something to them? Why not smile? Why not give them a kind word? You see, we can make a difference. And let me tell you, friends, we are called to make a difference. And let me say this too, that if we do what the world expects us to do, it takes absolutely no notice. If you do what the world does, they just think that's normal and they just carry on. No effect whatsoever. If we want the world to sit up and take notice, if we want people to sit up and take notice, then we act in a way and react in a way that they don't expect us to do. That's the only time they'll take notice, when you do something they don't expect you to do. And Jesus challenges us to treat others differently. In that same chapter of Matthew, verse 38, Jesus says that you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, let me tell you, friends, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is out the window. It's gone. It's finished. It was only an Old Testament rule so that people didn't take reprisals in a greater way than what that person had done to them. Don't do to him what he did to you. How many of you have felt of getting your own back on people? Come on, tell the truth. Yeah, of course you have. Hopefully, it's only a fleeting thought. Hopefully, it's only something you think, whoa, I'll do that to them, or I'll get, you know. But hopefully, we dismiss that quickly. But we've all done it. Our first reaction is probably to get even. But Jesus said that we should do good to those who have done us wrong. And let me say this morning that to love and to forgive is not natural. It's not our natural nature to do that. It's supernatural. And only the Lord himself can give us the strength to love other people like he loves them. You know, the Lord's been doing it all my Christian life. Giving me love for unlovely people. Tramps, people in the street. And now I work in the prisons. And you know, I have one motivation for doing what I do. I love those guys in prison. I really love them. They're really my friends. And I really care what happens to them. And you know, because I love them so much, I won't fudge anything. I tell them the absolute truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know that's the only hope. You know, love isn't patting somebody on the back and saying, there, never mind. Love is telling them the truth. And you know, God's done that with me all my life. He's given me love for people, a supernatural love that wasn't a natural thing that was in my nature. But I tell you, when you love people, and especially grown men, when you can turn round to someone and say, not only does Jesus love you, but I love you too, and you see a grown man crying, and you know why he's crying? Because nobody ever told him that they loved him. What a privilege to be able to bring that love of Jesus to people, to see lives turned around. Do they all make it? No. But we're going to keep trying. Do we get disappointments? Yes, lots of them. But we're going to keep proclaiming the word of God and bringing the love of Jesus. You see, that's making a difference. That's making a difference. Do you know something? When you make a difference, people know you're making a difference. You can't fool them. You can't fool the guys in prison. They're really streetwise. It's no good telling them you love them when you don't. They see straight through you. They know. And that's why I'm so blessed in doing that. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, just read a few more verses. After that, verse 38, where it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, Jesus carries on to say, in from verse 39, I'm still in chapter 5 of Matthew, by the way, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow, do not turn away. You heard it was said that you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus says, don't retaliate. Instead, love and pray for our enemies, because we can overcome evil with good. Let me tell you, there's one thing for sure. Evil doesn't overcome evil, does it? It just compounds it. It makes it worse. It says in verse 47, if you just love those who love you, I'll paraphrase this, what he's saying is you're just the same as all the rest. If you just love people who love you, you're just the same as all the rest. Don't even the tax collectors and publicans and the people that he talked about, and that's all they did. He says even they love each other. But if we can love our enemies, if we can treat our enemies well, we will really show that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. I believe that passage of scripture I've just read you is the most difficult passage of scripture in the whole Bible to live out. I don't think there's anything more difficult than loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you. That is the hardest thing that we as Christians will ever be challenged to do. And you know, we can't do it in our own strength. You cannot love your enemies in your own strength. You need the love of Jesus in you so that you can give it away. Because you know, the love of Jesus is not to keep, it's to give away. And the good news is, the more you give away, the more he gives you back. Isn't that fantastic? You can never run dry. We're like a river. It flows in and it flows out. It comes in and it goes out. And that's how we're supposed to be. But don't be like the Dead Sea, who's got an inlet and no outlet. Because if you're like the Dead Sea, you'll be dead. Spiritually, I'm talking now, of course. You see, you have to have an outlet. Whatever comes in must go out. Must keep flowing. So let's keep the love of God flowing. Let's show people that we are different. Let's bring people into the kingdom of God. You know, it's only possible to do this if we give ourselves fully to God. Because only he can deliver us from our natural selfishness. Who in here is not selfish? I don't see any hands going up. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're selfish. Maybe some people are more selfish than others, but part of our nature is to be selfish. But God can deliver us from that. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to help us to love those who we feel that we have no love for. Trust the Holy Spirit to do it. You know, the Holy Spirit's job is to make you like Jesus. That's his job. If he can do that, he's done a fantastic job if he can make us like Jesus. You know, the last verse I read you there, verse 48, it says that we will be perfect. How can we be perfect? Well, we can't become like Jesus all at once, can we? But we must grow towards perfection. I just believe, I'm taking a bit of license here so you can believe me or not, whatever I'm saying to you here, but I just believe that he expects different behaviour from us depending on our level of maturity. You know, you can have a baby, you can have a child, you can have a youth, you can have an adult. There's just four categories, if you like. And so the Lord, I believe the Lord expects different behaviour from us depending on our stage of spiritual development. He doesn't expect a baby Christian of 2 weeks old to act the same way as someone who's been a Christian 50 years. As long as our development is in line with our growth and where we're standing in the Lord, that's being perfect. That's as perfect as you can be at that point in time. Let me say, whatever level you're at, we've all got much room to grow. Every single one of us. We've got a long way to go. But you know, Jesus is calling all of his disciples to rise above mediocrity and to mature and to become like him. In Romans 12:2 it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Don't be like the world, which is selfish and corrupt. Paul says that the god of this age is the devil, and he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4 for any of you who are making notes. But let me tell you, friend, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you've had your mind opened. You're not blind. Your mind has been opened. In Romans 12:14 it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Do you know blessings are more powerful than curses? It's a principle of God. It actually works. Have you got a problem with somebody or a situation that's not good? Instead of cursing them, and I don't mean you go around sticking pins and things and what have you. I'm talking now about you curse when you just say the wrong things about people. But you know, to bless them will bring remarkable results. I can, you know, maybe I've told some of you this story before, but if I have, well, tough. But I'll give you one silly example. We had a neighbour and she was terrible. She was absolutely, I'm going to say she was a bit of a witch, well, she really was, virtually, but not in that sense. But she was an awful person and she caused us lots and lots of trouble. And I actually had words with her on more than one occasion. And they weren't very Christian-like words either. And you know, one day I heard this man preach a message on about blessings and curses. And he said, if you've got a situation or people who you're having problem with, I challenge you to pray for them and pray God's blessing upon them. And you know, I thought, well, nothing else is working with this, so I might as well give it a go. And you know, I started praying for this woman and praying, and you know what? God really made a drastic change there in that situation. Because she ran off with another man and sold the house, so that was good. But, and that's a true story, I haven't made that up. But you see, I got an answer. It wasn't, you know, when you get God's answers, they're not what you expect them to be. And that's a perfectly true story. And I did. I prayed that God would bless her. Every day for a month I prayed God's blessing on her. Spoke God's peace over her life. Asked God to do her real good and everything. My problem disappeared. I don't know about hers, but... there you go. You see, when we do something different, it affects people's lives. I won't read this to you now because there's not time, but one of my favourite stories in the Old Testament is 2 Kings chapter 6. And it's the story about Elisha and the king of Syria. And you probably know this story from maybe a different angle that I'm going to come from this morning. But the story is that the king of Syria is attacking Israel. And every time he goes to attack them, they've moved. And the king turns round to his servants and says, which one of you is a traitor? Because every time I do something, he knows what I'm going to do. And they said, Lord, we're not a traitor. It's this man called Elisha. He knows even what you're doing. God even tells him what you're doing in your bedroom. I think there's nothing more intimate than that. So we get the point there. And, you know, the story is that they go down to Dothan, they surround the city, and Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning and he says, alas, my lord, they're all around us. We're in big trouble. And, you know, all that Elisha did, he just prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And when he opened this young man's eyes, he saw the chariots of fire all around the city. The chariots of God. And he said that those who were for us are more than those who were against us. But that's not the point I want to make. I'm just telling you the story. But you know what actually happened was that Elisha prayed and asked them to blind the eyes of the Syrian raiders. And he blinded the eyes and Elisha led them away. I forget where he led them away to now. Where? Somebody said it, no. Anyway, up over. And when they got there, the king of Israel said to them, twice he said, shall we kill them? And Elisha didn't do what everyone else would have expected, because these Syrians had been a right pain. They were always attacking Israel. They were always in trouble from them. But you know, Elisha said, no. Instead, he had their eyes opened, he made them a great big banquet, a feast, and he sent them home. And you know, the last verse of that story says that the Syrian raiders came no more into Israel. What do you think would have happened had he killed them? They'd have got a bigger army, they'd have come back again, and they would have been in more trouble than they were in the first place. But because Elisha didn't do what they expected to do, it says they went away and they came no more. That's the sort of thing I'm talking about. That we have to do things differently. And I just looked at a few great men in the Bible and how, when they acted differently, how it affected those that were around them. And very briefly, Joseph is a wonderful story. Joseph was different. It says that in Genesis 39:3 that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. That's when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. And of course we know that he excelled in everything he did. God blessed him in everything he did, and he became in charge of that household until Potiphar's wife had other ideas. When he was locked in prison, it says in 39:23, the keeper of the prison knew that the Lord was with him. And Pharaoh himself said in 41:38, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? They're just three examples from Joseph's life. People knew that God was with him. Because he had a good attitude in bad situations. And he stood out. And wherever Joseph went, people took notice. Joseph was the best that he could be in every situation. My friends, that's a challenge for me. Can I be the best that I can be in every situation? And if you're listening, it's a challenge for you too. Can we be the best that we can be in every situation? And let's face it, friends, this life is full of situations. And it ain't going to change. In fact, good news is, it's going to get worse. We're going to get persecuted more and more. But don't let that worry you. Just stand up for Jesus. Let them do what they want. Daniel and his friends, they were recognized as being different. Daniel and his friends didn't do what they wanted them to do. He wouldn't stop praying, would he? You know, he went to the lion's den and the Lord closed the lion's mouths. They were thrown in the fiery furnace and nothing happened to them. They were different and everybody took notice. And David danced before the Lord, didn't he, with all his might. And when his wife complained, he said, "I'll be even more undignified than this." That was his words. In other words, "I don't care about what you're saying to me. I care about worshipping my God and thanking my God." And Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns at midnight after they'd been flogged and thrown into prison. And we know that fantastic story, don't we? We know that not only were the prison bars thrown open, but the jailer and his family all got saved. And none of the prisoners ran away. None of them ran away. Because they were praising God in an adverse situation. And you know what? It had a fantastic effect upon everyone that was around them. And it also had a fantastic result. The result was salvation. And whatever we're going for in this life, the number one thing is for the salvation of the lost. That's number one. Whatever you're doing for the Lord. No compromise. God first, everything else second. You know, the first time I went to a charismatic meeting, it was in Hollybush. Most of you have been to Hollybush. Well, I know you have anyway. And I went to this charismatic meeting in September 86. And, you know, I thought those people were absolutely crazy. I'm just as daft as them now, but never mind. But they were dancing in the aisles, they were raising their hands in the air, they were singing in languages that I didn't understand. And I thought they were mad and I just wanted to crawl under the seat and hide because I didn't know anything about that sort of stuff. But yet, I went back a second time and I went back a third time, and the third time I went back in November 1986, I gave my life to Jesus. Why? Why did I do that? I'll tell you why I did it. Because these crazy people were different. I'd been going to a traditional church where it was just open the book, say a few prayers, say the same things every week. I didn't know anything different. Yet these crazy people had something and they were different and I wanted what they had. Isn't that tremendous? That you could want something. Listen, friend, if you want to dance around the church and what have you, let me tell you, you won't put people off guard. You'll turn them on. A lot of people think, "Oh, I couldn't raise my hands. I couldn't dance before God because I might just put people off." Don't worry about that. Leave them to God. You just be what He wants you to be. You won't turn them off. You'll turn them on. And that's what happened to me. I wanted something that they had. Let me challenge you this morning. Do people want what you've got? Do they look at you and say, "I want that. I see something different. I see something good. I see something fantastic and I want it." That's how they should look at us. You know, we were in Florida many years ago now, and we went to this restaurant one night, and for those of you who've been to America, you'll know that the Americans demand good service. And if they don't get it, they're the first to complain, aren't they? And that's why usually you get pretty good service there. And we went to this restaurant one night with a family, and I remember it so clearly, and it's a good few years ago now, and there was one waitress on, one of these American steakhouse places, right? One waitress ran ragged, running all over the place. Service was dreadful. People were complaining. She had a terrible, terrible night. And in fact, I think we waited about 2 hours to get served. If you've ever waited 2 hours just to get your order taken, you'll know what I'm talking about. I can get pretty impatient after 5 minutes. But this night, we just sat there. And at the end of the evening, when we paid the bill, I gave her a big tip. And you know what? She said, "Is that for me?" I said, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I've just seen what a horrible night you've had, and I just want to bless you. What do you think she remembers about that night? Eh? If I'd been the same as everybody else, she would have just dismissed it. Now, I don't know what happened to her after that, but I'll tell you something. I believe that that was seed sown into her life for her coming into the kingdom of God, because we did something different to what everybody else did. I think you're understanding where I'm coming from today. You know, it says in John 15:16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. To bear fruit. You know, in 2007, I prayed a prayer, and I tell you, friends, be careful what you pray, because I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I'm not happy with my life. It's not fruitful enough. I want to bear more fruit. And that was 2.5 years ago. And I never thought for one minute God would take me up on that and do things the way he did do things. But you know, my life bears more fruit now than I've seen for years and years. And you know, I'm so blessed at that. I'm so blessed. It's wonderful to have the privilege of leading people into the kingdom of God and to see their countenance change and their lives change, and with all the problems they've got. So I'm not pretending people don't have problems, especially the ones that I meet. They've all got big problems. But you know, bearing fruit is what we're called to be. We're not called to be busy. We're not called to be chief executive of this or head of whatever. By God, we're called to bear fruit. That's what it's all about. Because that's the only thing that makes the kingdom grow. You know, in that scripture, it says that Jesus said, he said that you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear much fruit. You know, we didn't find God. He found us. God wasn't lost. We were. We all have a God-given purpose in this life to bring forth fruit. Just as a man would plant a tree and expect to reap fruit from it, God expects fruit from us. And he not only chose you, but he appointed you. That's what Jesus said. I chose you and I appointed you. Do you know what it means when you get appointed? It means you got the job. Whether you like it or not, when you accepted Jesus, you got the job. It's not, you can't cop out. God gave you the job. He appointed you to bear fruit. You know, it says in the Bible, in that same chapter, John 15, verse 8, it says, when you bear much fruit, my Father in heaven is glorified. How many of you want to glorify God? Of course we do. That's part of the package. It's part of who we are, isn't it? We want to glorify God. Jesus says, if you bear much fruit, you'll glorify my Father in heaven. Let me say, friends, barrenness doesn't glorify God. Fruitfulness glorifies God. And just in conclusion, because I'm watching the clock and I'm trying to be good. If you have a situation at present that you don't like, maybe you should handle it differently. Maybe you should do something different. If you want things to stay the same way, carry on doing what you're doing now. But if you want things to change, you're going to have to do something different. And I challenge you this morning. I say, not only are we called to be different, I dare you to be different. When you leave here today, I dare you to be different. Stop and think before you react to situations. Stop and think, if I did that, wow, I might bless that person. I might help that person. Are you open to change? Don't answer these questions, by the way. They're just open questions. Because our God likes to do new things. He may want to move you on. He may want to do something different with you. Just be open for new opportunities. Why not get up in the morning and say, Lord, give me some opportunities today. Put people across my path. Give me the boldness to go through the doors that you open. Give me the wisdom to speak into their lives the things that you want me to speak into their lives. I'll guarantee you, if you pray that in the morning, God will put people across your path. He will take you up on it. And if I'm wrong, come and tell me. But I don't think I am. Let me tell you this, that God has many blessings in store for you. For you and for you. Many blessings in store for you. But don't stay in a rut. Don't stay set in your ways. Because you are well able. You've got the living God inside of you. You are well able to do whatever He wants you to do. And whatever He asks you to do, He will always support you 100%. Our God never, ever asks us to do anything, but He doesn't support us completely. So let's be open to everything that God has in store for us. And let me tell you this morning, you are better than you think you are. Let me say that again. You are better than you think you are. Because some of us have poor opinions of ourselves. But let me tell you, God has not got a poor opinion of you. When we are different, we can make a difference. And each one of us can make a difference in somebody else's life. And I just added a scripture to this morning as I was praying this morning. And the scripture came into my mind, and I'm going to finish with this verse of scripture. It's John 7, 37 and 38. And Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Let me tell you, my dear friends, if we're satisfied by Jesus, then we ourselves become channels of refreshment for other people. Do you want to be a channel of refreshment for people, other people? People who we come into contact with. Let's pray. In fact, just before I pray, if you feel challenged by that this morning and you feel that you would like to say to the Lord this morning, "Yes, Lord, I want to be a person who makes a difference. I want to take you up on your word. You've appointed me, you've chosen me, and you've done that for a purpose." If you want, as I pray, I'll pray for you. Just stand where you are. If you want to be a person who makes a difference in people's lives, I'll pray for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you're so wonderful. I thank you for the wonderful life that you've given us and how you speak into our lives and all the goodness that comes from you. And Father, I just want to pray right now for my brothers and sisters in this place, that if they want to be people who make a difference in other people's lives, Lord, that you would give them a heart and a desire to do so. That you would place within them, Lord, that desire to want to be change makers. Lord, that you would equip them to do that. And Lord, that you would open doors for them. Give them opportunities, Lord, to do that, just that, Lord. Give them your wisdom and mountains of grace, Lord. Fill them with your love, Lord, that they can't even contain it, Lord, that they would have so much of your love inside of them that they would have to give it away, Lord. Lord, I ask for a great overflow of your love in every life here this morning. Lord, that we would leave here not just with this thought on our mind that who can I bless today, but with a completely different mindset that says every day, I want to be a person who makes a difference. Father, I ask these things And your word says that when we pray and ask believing, then we have them. Lord, I thank you for these prayers that have been answered this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could we sing if I am a friend of God? And perhaps you need prayer for some other reason this morning, and we're opening up the sanctuary for you to come. And Pastors Brian and Iris will minister to you if you need any other prayer this morning. Please come as we sing this song.